Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey, hey everybody.
We're just getting started. I'm already aggravated. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
New co-host back, Caleb. What up, man?
I'm having a great time.
Well, I'm excited. You've got three swag bags.
Oh, yeah. I've been swagging it up. I got two shirts on.
He does. He does.
I'm wearing two polos.
I found a shirt that could fit me. That was pretty impressive.
Let me turn on.
I didn't know guys my size golfed much.
Yeah, they do. Hey, guys, just talk among yourselves.
So we're here live at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, covering the PGA Golf Expo. We've covered this many years in a row. Last year, we did not come for COVID reasons, but this year, it looks like it's back in full swing. I don't know if it's the same attendance as normal. We won't get those kind of numbers till the end of the show in a few days. This show runs from today until Friday, but man, it's good to be around people again, isn't it, Randy?
No, it really is. But I feel like it's half the size as normal.
It could be half the size. I mean, I don't know.
A lot of booths. You know, I mean, it's still packed. It's still the PGA show. It's still pretty cool. We got to get, before we leave, we have to get Caleb a golf cart.
Okay, golf cart. Why, you want to be Bruce Arians? You want to get on the coaching staff?
Yeah, they got some dope ones out there. There was one that looked like a Mustang. That was pretty cool. I want one of those indoor driving ranges.
Oh, yeah, the indoor driving range is awesome.
Well, did you see the one with the guns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's a driving range because, you know, my brother wants to put one in his house.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, there's some that come with other things. I'm like, what other things could they have? A guy had a pistol and a rifle.
Really?
And you're shooting and
shoot
'em up stuff.
Yeah, put a couple back, do that with your buddies. That'll be a good time.
All right, before that old guy comes back, let me ask you both a question. Is golf a sport?
Caleb had the best answer, I think, of any definition.
Is that when the guy almost died?
Yes. He almost came over the top rope. So, he challenged Caleb to an arm wrestling competition.
He did.
Like, and this guy's what, 5'5"?
Yeah.
Maybe
like
72?
Yeah,
65?
Really, you know, so my explanation was basically, if there is not somebody actively trying to stop you from your goal, I can't consider it a sport. It doesn't mean it doesn't require athleticism or it's not a skill, but no one is trying to stop you from achieving that goal. So I think I'll just say it's a hobby that requires a lot of skill.
So what about
call the lawyers?
What?
No, seriously, I want to start anew. I want to set up combat golf.
Okay.
Where you have somebody who attempts to stop.
Right there,
yes.
Swing.
Yes.
So is drinking a sport? Because there's always a guy, a bouncer, that prevents me from entering an establishment.
Yeah, bar hopping? Yeah, that's it's a new Olympic sport, bar hopping.
I like it.
I like bar hopping. It could be if a guy can have a pizza and
golf
clothing line.
No, because like, I'm back to talking about what's sports and what's not sports. There was like a debate that I saw on TikTok somewhere. It's like, is cheerleading a sport? You know, like competition cheerleading and like stuff like that. It's like, yeah, it requires athleticism. Yes, it's not easy to do, but like I really think that if somebody's not trying to stop you from your goal, I don't think you can call that a sport. Every other sport, there is.
So if there's a cheerleading competition, somebody needs to be in the audience with a paintball gun.
Yeah.
And when you like throw her up in the air, you get to drill.
To knock you out the air.
Exactly.
While you're in the air. There you go.
Then I'd like that.
Then we'll call it a sport, you know?
We might
but
have
until that point, no.
We might have to do that. I think we need to get bigger speakers.
Yeah. or less fans. Like we need. So I think a lot of people think that Caleb is the Nigerian champion from Saturday night who defended his belt. Did you see the fight? Did you watch Francis Ngannou turn into a grappler?
Yeah.
A Brazilian jiu-jitsu expert all of a sudden.
Ridiculous. It was amazing to see. It was great to watch him kind of evolve his game. Because like where he was three fights ago, just wild swinging. Like his last fight, you see him be patient, throwing jabs, staying in his range. And then this time he's grappling. He's the guy who's never been taken down, takes him down and keeps him down almost the whole fight. You know what I mean? It was really, really impressive to see the growth.
Now, something you could probably relate to, Caleb, the fighters, they fight injured, right? They take fights on short notice. Sometimes they have to fight when they're not fully 100%. They say Francis' knee was compromised.
Yeah, he had two sleeves. Yeah,
he took it to the ground. Like, how often do you play injured, or have you played injured in the past? Where you know,
always
you know what? I should because I know the Terrell Davis, or was that his name?
Or Terrell.
Terrell Davis was infamous for going into run a play. When he couldn't see. He had a concussion.
Yeah.
And they put him in with the Broncos. And they're like, they're never going to believe the fake if you're not in the play. So you got to go. And he's like, I can't see.
Yeah.
Like, Shanahan's like, don't worry about it. You got to be out there. So yeah. Does that happen like often, or is that?
Oh, every year. Every year. Like, I played my entire sophomore college season with the torn meniscus.
Oh, wow.
You know, like in my the last couple games of my third year in the NFL, I had a torn meniscus too. And so, like, that stuff happens all the time. High ankle sprains. Like, you play banged up, and it's just one of those things where it's like, if you're – you just got to get to Sunday. You know, that's what we always talk about, getting to Sunday. Everybody's banged up in the NFL. After, right. like, week four or five, like, there's nobody walking around fully healthy. Everybody's got nicks and bruises, and it's just kind of learning how to play through the pain, you know, tape it up, you know, take Advil, whatever it is you got to do. But you got – your teammates kind of need to be out there, so you do what you got to do. But that's why you have tons of guys. As soon as the season's over, you see guys having surgery. Like Tom Brady a couple of years ago, season ended, he had knee surgery to clean up his knee. And so it's almost guaranteed you're playing through injuries.
I want to go back real quick. I don't want to fly through what happened Saturday night with Ngannou. And I'm sure you both are aware. And, yes, I dozed off because I was on East Coast time. He was losing the fight. You know that, right?
Who was?
Ngannou was losing the fight.
Oh, you think so?
No, I know so. I know how to read scorecards.
Oh, okay.
So he lost on two of the three, and that's all you need to do. He lost the first two rounds, and then he dominated pretty much rounds three and four. And when Gon, or however you pronounce his name, took him down, he had the fight won. He was going to win the fight. And then when he went for the leg, and Francis, to his credit, took the top control and basically won the fight by what happened in round five.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, big ups to Francis for, after being down 2018, to regroup and, change. And then it came out the other day that I guess the UFC or Endeavor or whatever the official name is sent an email suing Francis.
Wow.
And he found out en route to the arena, allegedly, just in case there's lawyers listening, mm-hmm. Because allegedly he's talking to the former UFC employee who's now Jake Paul's business partner, promoter, whatever.
Okay.
And I guess it's kind of like tampering, just like in any other sport where, you're under contract.
Yeah.
Unless you get permission.
Yeah, you can't speak to them under certain terms or...
Well, you know...
Still a current employee.
Right. Right. But big ups for him, but now...
So what happens to Francis now? Like, what? He's filed out his contract.
I believe if he wins the belt, if he is the champion, I believe it automatically adds one more fight to the contract.
Oh, it does.
So he would have been a free agent if he had lost.
Oh.
But because he won.
So it sets up the John Jones super fight.
Exactly.
Which I thought Jones is going to dominate both of these guys after that performance.
I still think so.
But I don't know. With Francis, if he keeps evolving, because Jones doesn't walk around to that natural heavier weight. He's adding bulking to it, but it is natural strength, brute strength. Francis is just a bigger human.
He is, but I think John has so much more skill than him. And I think John is bigger than people think. You know, like he's, look at his family. Look at all his brothers.
Yeah.
They're big defensive linemen. I think he actually cuts weight to go to 205 much more than he has to, that's his walking around weight. Because he looks like a big man right now. He's at least 240, 250. And he looks comfortable at it.
His brother played for the Ravens, right?
Ravens and also Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
One of the best all-time great defensive ends, outside linebackers. So he comes from a freaky family, so I don't think he'll have any issues. But his skill set is just so amazing. I don't see how any one of those guys can hold his jockstrap, to be honest with you. I just don't see it.
So you're the former UFC light heavyweight champ. What's the rest of your family? I don't know, two studs in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. The sack leaders since he got to the league.
I can't think, and let me know if you guys can, a more talented family. Because there's three.
I mean, the Mannings are
But there's
good.
Two.
The Mannings, the Matthews.
Well, Archie. Archie was he played for the Saints. I mean, you may know him.
They got the young one, though.
Cooper.
Yeah, he's...
Well, no, Cooper's the stud. Cooper's the older brother. No. You're talking about the nephew.
Yeah, his name is Archie or something like that, or Archie.
The quarterback. He's the quarterback, right?
Yeah, he's a stud. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
he's amazing. But there's some families out there. I had a pleasure of working with Bruce Matthews in the offseason.
Yeah.
He helps me with offensive line stuff. And it's so amazing talking to him about football. Like, he played, 19 years? He was a pro bowler and an all-pro, at five positions.
Wow.
Like, who does that?
Wow.
Like, that's hard to do. Yeah. Like, at center, at both guards, at tackle. Like, that is ridiculous.
You're right. That's probably him because it's the two brothers.
Yeah.
And then the cousins and nephews and all that kind of stuff.
Clay and all those guys. Yeah. Like, that's probably one of the most impressive ones I've seen. Like, his son, Jake, all pro bowler. You know, he's been on all pro teams before. Like, it's pretty impressive.
A friend of mine, David Graham, who I think I was telling one of you guys, used to be the dean at Admiral Farragut, a great golfer, tried to go on the PGA Tour, the senior PGA Tour, and just people don't realize how difficult that is, just, you know, the mental and all that kind of stuff. But where I'm going with it is his dad, legendary, arguably at the time, no longer, the greatest quarterback of all time, Otto Graham. And David would always say that between him and his father, they played for 10 world titles.
Yeah.
His dad had 10.
Yeah, I mean, look, you see all the golf innovation here at the show today, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, like, truly remarkable, like, the innovation and the simulations. And, you know, you can really become a professional golfer in your basement now with some of these hitting ranges.
And it's funny that you said that, because I was talking to my wife the other day, and it's something about a helicopter or a plane and how it's unrealistic to think that. I think some kid took a helicopter up or something and then he didn't know how to land it. But that's video games now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at real pilots, when you go in the military, you're not really learning in real planes.
Yeah,
simulators. Right.
You're learning on simulators.
Sure.
And that's what they have here, like that gun one, which I really want.
Yeah, no, I want that too. We got to see how much that costs, because that thing was sweet. So I got a random question for you. Well, it's not really random. Something I've been thinking about for a while, right? When they talk about GOATs in sports, they talk about Tom Brady, you know, Michael Jordan, that kind of stuff like that, right? When you are describing your GOAT, what is the criteria? Because for me, there's like this debate, right? Like, LeBron doesn't have 6 rings, you know? Like, is it just championships? Because then you talk about Bill Russell, you know, he's got 12 or whatever it is. So, like, what is the criteria? Because I don't just chalk it up to, oh, this guy played a long time and was, like, really accomplished. I'm like, I like to look at it like, how high were your peaks? Like, did you captivate people?
Right.
Like, for me, like, it's more than just, like, numbers, right? So how would you go about it? Like, when it's like, okay, like, because to me, I think Patrick Mahomes doesn't need to win 7 rings to be called the GOAT.
I agree with you.
I don't think he needs to win 7.
I agree.
I think if he wins 2 or 3, I'm okay with saying, at the rate that he's going, the way that he's playing, and the moments that he's given us so young, like, I would be okay calling him that before he wins 7. So how do you feel about that?
From what, like what you just said, Robert Ore, who has how many rings does
6.
He have?
Yeah.
I would never consider him the greatest of all time, or even in the same ballpark.
Exactly.
You know, because he had 6 rings. You know, he was smart enough to go to the right teams. Charles Haley and some of, you know, I think there was another Cowboy that then went over the 49ers. So, no, it's the whole, you know, body of work. And I was, up until lately, you know, I was putting LeBron up there as possibly the greatest, because of not just because of his championships and his rings, and the ring he won, he probably shouldn't have won, because mm-hmm. Golden State should have won that.
Yeah.
You don't kick the guy and then you don't get thrown out. And,
exactly.
You know,
they should have won against the Dallas Mavericks as well. I mean, they lost, like, they blew a 3-0 lead or something, right?
Well, but I'm happy for Mark Cuban.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So, but here's how I define it. So how I define it is, if you're so good at a position, you change the gameplay, like Lawrence Taylor changed the way that offenses, like, mm-hmm. ran the ball or threw the ball. Like Michael Vick changed the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you're a dominant player where you change the game, I think you're a GOAT.
Well, Michael, like, Vick's not a GOAT.
Michael Vick is a GOAT.
There's no.
Michael Vick changed the game. All quarterbacks wanted to be Michael Vick. With, like, I mean, come on.
Definitely captivating, but I feel like, you know, it's not all stats, but I don't think, like, when you talk about the Mannings and the Taylor's, he was very captivating. He captivated a generation, and he made it okay for quarterbacks to scramble and do all kinds of stuff, like all the stuff like that. But I don't think I would call him a GOAT. I don't think he has enough accomplishments. Never won a Super Bowl, you know, and never led the league in passing. Like, I think that some of that stuff, for me at least, my criteria, I have to take that into account when we're talking about GOAT quarterbacks.
And I want to throw this out real quick, because I think you and me, you and Caleb, you and I discussed this earlier. I'm not saying no to Michael Vick because of what he did outside of football.
100%.
Because I don't care.
Right. Yes.
I mean, I care what he did, but I'm saying I don't care when you're talking about the greatest in that sport.
Yes.
You know, and what seems to always come up, and you know where I stand with Warren Sapp. It doesn't matter what Warren did outside of football. It doesn't matter if he didn't sign an autograph for your kid. That doesn't change what he did on the football field.
Right.
Yes.
You know, so I don't think Michael Vick is anywhere.
So let me ask you a personal question. Like,
why don't you hold it?
No.
Hold
it. Ties in with what you just said.
Okay, hold the personal question.
Okay.
Let's hit a break. We're already over.
Okay.
And we'll come back with the question. Write it down because you'll forget.
I will.
I know your mentality.
I will.
And
do you have a crayon? Are
we ready? We do have a marker. we do have a marker over here in the podcast booth at the PGA show here in Orlando. God, that's such a swear word to me. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're the Coors Light Twins, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Jay Johnstone from the Phillies, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
And we're back. This is
I can hear you
radio.
Fine. Before you get back to your question for Caleb, I just want to, you know, like from Star Trek, Stardate 221 and a half. The podcast booth just had an accident, and we had nothing to do with
ghost.
It. Yeah,
what do they call those? Oh, you're from New Orleans. Yeah. You know about the spirits and stuff. Haunted haunted houses and ghost tours over in New Orleans.
Well, yeah, the podcast booth is haunted. I can confirm.
I think it is. I think Sean Payton's here.
Apparently there's a
we'll
movie
get to that.
Coming out.
But go ahead, get to your question.
So my question is, Caleb, now, when you're getting ready to select a team, like if they're interested in you, if the quarterback is a mobile quarterback, like a Mahomes or like a Michael Vick, versus a Manning or a Brady who just going to stand in the pocket, does that change your decision, like if, like who you want to play for? Because in a running quarterback, you would have to get downfield to block. You would have to run a lot more. You would have to a lot more demanding on the body, as opposed to a quarterback who just stands in the pocket. You just got to stand there and keep people out.
So, you know, they both have their positives, right? If you have a pocket quarterback, you want a guy that gets rid of the ball, like a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is still mobile, but it's like the running quarterbacks are amazing, but there's give and take, because as much as they get you out of trouble, they can also run into trouble. You know, you can be blocking and being a good block, and he tries to escape and he gets sacked. You know, he takes a sack. So there's give and take. My preference, I like guys like Tom Brady who sits in there and gets out on rhythm, because it discourages the rush from those guys. The defensive linemen don't want to rush anymore because they know they're not going to get there. They just kind of like, you know, screw it at this point, because by the time he tries to get in his rush, ball's out, we're on to the next play, ball's out, rhythm throws. Like, that's a lot, you know, more fun. But the running quarterbacks are exciting, though, because they make plays. But, you know, you just know you gotta block longer and stay on those blocks longer.
Similar question, Stardate 412. breaking news, Sean Payton decides to step down.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts. Did you have any, you know, thoughts that this could happen? And what does it mean?
Did not see it coming. I had no idea. Everything that, you know, he said while we were there, like, he was still really into it. He loved it, you know. But, you know, like, the first I heard about it was some conspiracy theories about Jerry Jones wanting him to play coach for the Cowboys. And so literally yesterday I'm watching, you know, a sports talk show in the morning, and they're like, yeah, you know, Sean's on contract for a couple more years, so maybe he'll, you know, do a Gronk and retire and let them get a coach and then sign on with Jerry in a year from now. So that's the first I heard of it. I was like, no, there's no way. And then next thing you know, later that day, you know, he's stepping down and retiring. So definitely sad. I definitely loved playing for him. I'd have loved to play for him for some more years. But good luck to him, though. Yeah, but it's caught me by surprise for sure.
If that does happen, they would have to compensate the Saints to get him, though, right?
I'm sure they have to trade, yes. They would have to trade. Yeah.
What would Sean Payton be worth?
I mean, if you...
If you're Jerry Jones and you have a decent team...
Yeah.
But is he stepping down because of this video, this, like, documentary is coming out? Like, is there something scandalous in there? Because didn't he have hot water years ago for headhunting and, like, providing bonuses if you injure certain players? Like, didn't he get suspended for something?
That happened. But I don't think it's kind of like, from being in that locker room, I don't think it's what it seemed to be to the public. I don't believe, I'm not going to give out any details, but I don't believe that he was out there saying, like, hey, hurt this guy, get him out the game. You know, you get money, because guys in the NFL don't approach it like that. Everybody understands it. Like, we're out here trying to feed our families, so nobody wants you to get hurt. I've had guys, defensive linemen, pull me out the way when a running back is about to fall into my legs. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, hey, man, I don't want you to get hurt. Like, that happens. Like, guys really do care. You know, everybody wants to go out there and play their best, make good hits, you know what I'm saying, be physical, but everybody wants everybody to be healthy. So I just don't think it was kind of as bad as it seemed.
Well, not everybody, because sometimes you guys, like, throw punches with helmets on.
For sure, for sure. You do have some knuckleheads.
And why don't you take the helmet off when you throw a punch? Like, why do you guys punch each other's helmet?
See, there's no problem punching the helmet. Just don't do a close fist. Right. Open hand. You don't want to break your hand. So open hand, bottom of the palm, just kind of let them know, you know.
It's one of my crazy to watch them throw fists.
I believe, if I remember this correctly, one of my closest friends that's ever played in the NFL once punched a helmet. And that was Michael Pittman when Sean Taylor spit on him. And, you know, it was.
You get spit
on,
that's the one thing. Like,
And they went to throw Mike, they threw Sean Taylor out, and then they went to throw Pitt out, and another ref came over and kind of told him what happened.
Yeah.
They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. You know, it's stupid.
For sure.
But, you know, open hand.
Spit on. I'm sorry. You got to see me for that.
So let's go back to, we should start on Saturday, but we won't. We'll start on Sunday, the 3 o'clock game. As we're sitting there watching the Buccaneers now going to have home field advantage for the right to go to the Super Bowl. As I don't want to say a fan, but, you know, friends on the team and a former player here. Tell me what it was like for you to watch that, because to me it was like, I want to throw up.
You know, it's mixed feelings because I have friends, you know, on that team and guys that I'm really close with. And, you know, I want to see them succeed. I want to see them win games. But it was just it was a great game, man. It was just a great game to watch. Like, the comeback, you know, like, I knew that they matched up really well against the Bucks. And really what Tom Brady has struggled with in his whole career is good defensive lines and teams that can play coverage. So when you can rush him with four and you don't have to blitz him,
right,
and you can play coverage on the back end and get pressure like that, that's when he's always struggled with the Giants, with the Saints, with the Rams. He struggles in those games. So I knew it was going to be a good matchup. And then with all the guys out, you know. But, you know, it was definitely mixed emotions for sure, I would say. That's the best way I can put it.
How much of that loss was because AB wasn't there?
A big part of it. Oh. There was a stat I saw the other day. The Bucks are 7-0 when Antonio Brown plays.
Wow.
They score more points, get more yards. So Tom Brady didn't just want him on the team just to want him on the team. Like, he's a game changer.
And he makes good signs.
Yeah.
Is he a GOAT?
Huh?
Is he a GOAT?
You know what's funny? There was a point in his career, he had like about a 5 to 6 year period in his career that no receiver has been better. You know, if not for injuries and then him jumping around, like, he kind of ruined his own track because he was on track. If he just stayed clear of all that off the field stuff and didn't get in trouble in Oakland and play with Derek Carr, he was on his way, man. He was on his way. He had like a 6 year period where he was one of the best ever. Like, the stats speak for themselves.
As a player, you know, fans sit back, media sits back and watch. We think we know. We talk about it. But as a player, why or how does this happen 15 seconds, 42 seconds, a minute, and you can't score all game, but with a minute left, you can now go up and down the field?
You know, we talked about this last week with the situation of football, right? How, you know, Dallas had struggled in that situation. And then they couldn't get a playoff in 14 seconds. And now you have the Chiefs run three plays, get in field goal range in 13 seconds and win the game. So that's the makeup of really good football teams is situational awareness. Because you know that when the defense, when there's that short of time, defense is going to play off. They don't want to give up big plays. And you have certain plays that are drawn up to get those chunk yards where they give it to you. And we work those things. Okay, hey, we know they're going to go to sideline, right? We know you want to go to sideline. They're going to take that away so the middle's open. Okay, let's get it in. Get down quick. We have our timeouts. Let's call a timeout. So it's all about situational football and understanding what the defense is trying to do in those situations.
All right, one game down, break time. Believe it, it flies by.
Yeah.
You know, I get yelled at by the network. Go, go. All right, so we're going to hit this break. When we come back, we'll address the other three games. And we need to get back to talk about the UFC. Matt Friola.
Yeah.
Did you see his total domination?
Way to handle business.
He definitely did. So a lot still to get to from the podcast room here at the PGA show. I just can't let it go. I just can't let it go. The haunted podcast room here at the PGA show in Orlando. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Small towns, beat up cars
with guitars and drummers go crack, boom, bang. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is George Foreman, and I'm talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars through the streets of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg, February 25th to the 27th. Tickets are on sale now at gpstpete.com. It's fast, fun, family entertainment, jam-packed into all 3 days. 10 races in all are on the weekend schedule. The big NTT IndyCar Series race takes the green flag on Sunday afternoon. It all happens at the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, February 25th to the 27th. Get your tickets at gpstpete.com.
We will once again broadcast from Radio Row in the upcoming Super Bowl, and very excited to announce that our home base will be the Hyatt House in Anaheim. The Hyatt House is located near Angel Stadium, Disneyland, and the Honda Center, and a short drive from LAX. They also provide free breakfast. Yes, please. From the suites with kitchens or the bunk beds for the kids, they have many options for your experience. Check out these reviews from previous guests. One reviewer said the location was just perfect, while another said the hotel was great and staff was friendly. If you're headed to visit Anaheim or the LA area, you'll want to call the Hyatt House at Convention Center, your home base as well.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive. How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Don King, and I'm listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. Join me. Don't touch that dial. We got something in store for you.
And we're back. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from the PGA Golf Expo podcast booth.
The haunted podcast booth.
Featuring our special guest today, Caleb Bentnot.
Hold on a second. Let's put Caleb on the spot. Okay. Are you still the special guest, or are you now part of the team?
I want to be part of the team.
Right, you're part of the team.
Yeah, I don't want to be a guest anymore.
I thought of that the other day. I'm like, not a guest. Yeah. You're one of the guys. So from the haunted podcast room here at the PGA Show in Orlando, it's all of the guys.
There we go.
Okay. All right, what other game you want to talk about? What game? Well, obviously the Buffalo-Kansas City game was
The best game
stupid.
I've ever seen. Best game. I called like four or five people and be like, did you just see that? And they were like, yeah. I'm like, I don't think you understand what you were watching. That is the best football game I've ever seen played. Clean, no turnovers, just electric offense. That's why, to me, the NFL is the best, most exciting sport.
Yeah, can you watch, league. You know, and I ask fighters this too. Can you watch a football game as a fan, or are you always watching because it's your profession? You can pick up something. They're friends of yours.
I can still watch as a fan. I mean, when I'm in the kind of monotony of the season, I'm not really watching games because I'm watching film all the time, so I don't watch it too much, you know. But now my season's over, I can go watch and enjoy it. Like, I was like a little kid. I felt like a kid watching these games this weekend. Like, they were amazing. Like, exciting. Definitely, like, I gravitate to looking at certain positions and like looking at little details here and there. Like, I'll watch D lineman rush and stuff like that just out of habit. But I can definitely still watch as a fan. It's still exciting.
And Saturday, obviously, the upset in Green Bay. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Two heartbreakers. Shout out to my boys, Jayon Brown and Kenny Clark. I thought they were going to, you know, get a chance to play in the championship game, get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Those games broke my heart. But Joe Burrow, though, star. Dude's a stud, man. Him and Ja'Marr Chase are going to be a problem for a long time. And I think teams are going to start thinking, like, if we can get a guy who's worked with a guy in college before, look how well that works. They already have that kind of chemistry. Like, that's an interesting thing, I think, to keep track of. Like the Dolphins did with Waddle and Tua. So, you know, like, it hasn't worked quite as well. But, you know, I think that's something definitely to look into.
Well, yeah, because they're accustomed to it. You know, they've worked together. They know what they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever the player may be, maybe they didn't have the greatest whatever in college, but that rapport,
yep.
They know what he can do.
Yep.
Now you look at the team you had in college. You look at now you have the professional players. Yeah, I can definitely say it.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's a dope thing. But, I mean, the NFL, man, that was an amazing weekend. It made me proud to be a part of this league, like, it was amazing, man. It was amazing.
I want to see Ocho Cinco back in the Bengals uniform. or Icky Wood through the Icky Shuffle.
Kajana Carter?
Huh?
You don't even know who Kajana Carter is.
No, I know that guy. Do you work at Waffle House?
See? See what I deal guy. With? All right, speaking of Waffle House, since we're here in Orlando, give me your guys' thoughts on the Figment popcorn buckets. Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
This is the stupidest thing because people like Matt Tools that are on Facebook that are bitching about this stuff. So they had these popcorn buckets at Epcot.
Okay.
I never knew this, and you know I have had annual passes. I think I'm finally going to let it go. But as Mickey and Minnie would be for Magic Kingdom, Figment, it's like a purple dinosaur, is the Mickey Minnie of Epcot.
Okay.
So that's the their logoed whatever. So they came out with, because it's the 50th anniversary, these Figment popcorn buckets.
Okay.
So you buy the bucket for $25, and then I guess you can go back and refill your popcorn for a couple dollars. They sold out. People stood in line 8 hours.
Wow.
This is at Waffle House?
No, this is at Epcot.
Okay.
I said Waffle House. I brought it.
Gotcha.
Bad rollover, yeah. But whatever. So people were standing in line 8 hours, 7 hours, 6 hours, and then they're putting them up on eBay and selling them for $200.
Wow.
So people are complaining, as only people can do, that it's not right, that people shouldn't do that. That they shouldn't sell. They stood in line 8 hours.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
I'd sell it for $500 if I stood in line for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of ticket gouging and price gouging, you know, like I used to love going to an arena at last minute. Maybe the game's already started, and I could see a guy, and he's like, tickets for sale. And there were corners where I knew where certain people would be mm-hmm. that would have access to, you know, discounted prices. Because with every minute that goes by on the clock, the price gets cheaper to enter when you negotiate.
Yeah.
But with digital tickets and technology, I don't see those people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so how do you get last minute tickets to an NFL game or a playoff game or like a Lightning game?
No. There's some websites. I think Game Time or something like that.
And it's just
but everybody does tickets? That. I went to a Super Bowl. I want to say it was in San Diego. And on the back door of my hotel room, it said maximum amount charge you can charge for this room. I'm going to make it up $150.
Okay.
And I was paying $400 a night.
Yeah.
Because it's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supply and demand.
It's capitalism.
It is. So it's no different than these stupid purple buckets. And just because I was riled, just like I was earlier today, I wanted to go. We did go to Epcot. They were sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to take a picture in front of 8 of those stupid buckets. And, you know, I would have had to buy them,
yeah.
which I couldn't buy that many, but just to piss people off.
Yeah.
You know, not that I'd sell them. You know, I'd give them to the girls. I'd give them to, you know, yeah. the kids. But it's just the point. You sit on your fat butt and bitch as other people stand in line for 8 hours
yeah.
to make $100.
Yeah. Like, they went out there and they waited, they paid their time, and I think people just are so used to getting everything nowadays that people want to complain, but we can go on about that for hours. Because, I mean, I know you guys are really big into shoes, right?
Yeah.
Joking.
But, yeah, really big.
Like, you know, the shoe community. Yeah, the shoe community, it's like resale is like the new thing now. So you have guys
who curated heat on Central Avenue in St. Pete.
Exactly. So, you know, we were talking about this, like, dunks that Nike releases for $100, somebody buys them, they only make so many. Now it's $800. And it's like, oh, that's not fair. Well, it's like, well, wait in line.
Right.
Go online and try and get them. And if you don't, you know,
PS5, sucks to suck. I mean, they always have limited releases of certain things.
Yeah. To do. And they're like, oh, they should make more. It's like, no, they don't have
wait,
to.
I remember being a kid and Cabbage Patch Kids. Same thing. Like Target would get like a certain number of Cabbage Patch Kids.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom will wait in line forever. I mean, this is back in like the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and then
way back.
But I remember
way back.
No, but I remember being a kid. I remember my mom coming home and we went to Target and she only had enough money to get this Cabbage Patch doll. And she didn't expect to get it. Somebody put it back on the shelf, she grabbed it. She paid for this thing, but she didn't have enough cash on her. So I didn't get a toy. My sister got a Cabbage Patch doll. I was devastated. So
I can hear the trauma in your voice.
Yes, yeah.
I was emotionally traumatized. The next day I came home, there was a Tonka truck sitting on the kitchen counter, like one of those big metal Tonka trucks. And I look at my mom. I said, what am I supposed to do with this, Mom? She goes, I couldn't get you a toy yesterday, so I got you a Tonka truck. And I'm like, how am I going to fight the forces of evil in this, Mom? And I couldn't fight Luke Skywalker. And I will never forgive my mother for that.
Which is his volume? So I can turn this is just... was it the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that had the female?
No, it was Master Splinter.
Yeah, but there was one. I could have swore it was the Turtles, and her name was like April or something.
I don't know.
We'll Google it. But we were driving to Philadelphia, and I tried to get that female for my daughter. And as we're driving to Philadelphia from St. Petersburg, Florida, we're hitting every what was the toy store? Toys R Us, and trying to get that one damn toy.
RIP. They don't even exist anymore.
Remember KB Toys? Like,
no.
Oh, man.
Well, it's supposed to be coming back. The giraffe's coming back.
Toys R Us?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, supposed to be coming back.
Trying.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How do you not have a toy store?
I'm gonna go get my Luke Skywalker action figure. Because what am I supposed to do? Drive over the, I can't fight crime and force of evil. The truck? Drive over crime?
Not sports related, but what was your favorite toy growing up?
Ooh. Wow. I don't think I had one. Come to think of it, I don't think I was more of a video game guy. So, since I can remember, it was, the Nintendo 64 and, so I don't remember really having, that many. I think I had, a Spider-Man that I loved.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was more video games.
Go ahead.
What was your favorite toy in Little House on the Prairie? What did you guys build?
What were those logs? Lincoln logs.
Yeah.
No, wait.
Did you ever make an inferno? Did you ever build it and then light it on fire?
But as you're being a smartass, my favorite toy, and I remember it vividly, was called Major Matt Mason. Okay, and it was like a little, I don't know, it was about 6 inches, and it was an astronaut. And it had this whole astronaut stuff and space and this. So I went on eBay a couple years ago, and I'm like, all right, I've got a couple dollars in my pocket, right? I'm going to go $95 for this thing.
Wow.
And I bought it. and it holds like one of our closet doors. The arms are over the closet doors, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I mentioned my nephew's store, Curated Heat. That's what those vintages are all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just connecting to when you were younger, or a band concert T-shirt that you mm-hmm. went to with your dad or your brother or ex-girlfriend or ex-wife or future ex-mother-in-law.
The funny thing is, there's so many of those stores. You go, I like to thrift, right? I like the vintage stuff. And you go and you find some really, really cool things, but people will go and find a vintage Dior t-shirt and cost them $3 at the vintage store, $20. Go in the store, and now it's this is $500. And yep. they'll be oh my God, and somebody's going to pay it for that.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I mean? It's you're saying they paid $3 for it, but they took the time
yep.
to go out there and find this and shuffle through hundreds of t-shirts. You know what I'm saying? So it's
he's the king of that. He does that all the time.
All the time. I love it. Oh, yeah. I'm always hustling, finding, grinding, trading,
yeah.
upgrading.
So I've gotten him all these really cool things for gifts, since I've known him, that he then saws the head off of the toy that I bought him.
I heard a rumor that there's a hidden toy inside the head. If you cut the pop toy off.
I bought him the my daughter's Funko or whatever.
And there was nothing inside except disappointment.
So tell Caleb what you got me at Goodwill.
I got him a number 93 from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. The Gerald McCoy signed football. How about that? Yeah. Yeah.
Goodwill. That's awesome.
In an acrylic case that he used for an auction item. So it was authenticated, signed
from the Bucs.
From the Bucs in a glass display case with a mirrored back. And it was a full-size football.
I saw online, and I don't know if you know who Styles White is, a former defensive lineman of the Bucs, but somebody found a pair of his game shoes at a Goodwill in St. Pete not too long ago.
Wow.
And he's been out for a while. So a funny story about Styles, who's great friends of ours. So he's working at a convenience store. And some guy, you know the story. So some guy comes in, and he's got a name tag that says Styles. And this customers like, Styles, that's a great name. My favorite football player of all times named Styles. He played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it was him.
Yeah. How much do you think Styles weighs?
Oh, I don't know.
Three?
I don't think that much, but
275.
High twos.
Yeah,
about the backflip.
He attempted to do a backflip in the front yard and almost made it.
Wow.
But he did not make it.
the landing was not good.
Yeah.
The landing was.
I will do it into a pool. I don't trust it on ground. Oh, no, I'm not doing it on the concrete or on the grass.
Is there anything that you guys are not allowed to do?
I mean, there's definitely your contract, things if you get hurt riding a motorcycle or skiing and snowboarding, they technically don't have to pay you. If you get injured doing that can be cause for termination. But it's all one of those things where it's like, how good are you and how much do you mean to the team? Like,
is it yeah. different for each sport? Because I know Chris Anderson played for the Miami Heat.
Yep.
He's played for the Nuggets. Like, I had a Super Bowl.
Birdman.
I had a... Yeah. I had
4,612 tattoos.
Yeah. He had another one. I met him. Like, he had no license because he drove fast and he couldn't drive anywhere. So everybody had to drive him. Mm-hmm. But I had a Stanley Cup party and I invited him, and our clubhouse had an indoor basketball court. And he was like, I can't play. He's like, it's in my contract. I can't play anything outside of practice or, like, you know. So do they do that for the football guys?
I mean, all that stuff is like, yeah, like if you get hurt outside of the, like, outside of your team, like, technically they're not liable, you know what I mean? But again, it's like, how good are you and what are they going to tolerate? Like, if Tom Brady's throwing passes and hurts himself, they're not gonna be like, oh, sorry Tom, we're not going to pay you. Like, you're going to pay Tom Brady. But, you know, if Joe Schmo does,
well, Brian Griese fell down the stairs because his dog tripped him.
Was that Griese or Fourier?
It was Griese in Denver. Okay. Allegedly, he was drinking, fell down the stairs.
I know nothing. I know nothing. What is your thoughts? And, you know, again, you know, the conspiracy and whatever. Ryan Griffin was activated for the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
A fourth quarterback. Why? And then some people are like, well, it was the Bucks' way of saying thank you because he got a full paycheck, which the NFL pays, not the team. Do teams think like that? Are they thinking, well, we have an open spot, let's thank somebody?
For sure.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like when you have a guy who's been on that team for almost his whole career, he's put in his work, he comes every day, doesn't complain. Like, they definitely reward people for hard work. You know, they're like, hey, we have an open spot here. Like, we'll bring you up. Like, there's guys, you know, on practice squad, like, they work their butts off all year. And it's like, okay, something happens, we don't need you to play. But, you know, we'll bring you up, you get a full check. Get the jersey on, your friends and family get to see you out there. So, yeah, that stuff definitely does happen.
Man, I need to work for them.
you're welcome to start now.
Yeah, well, I did get a free jersey today. Thanks, Randy.
You got more than A.
I cleaned up over the PGA Golf Expo.
God, you've walked out with, how much swag did you get?
Everything I'm wearing is from this show. Everything. The Mission Belt.
That's our boys, though.
Everything.
You know, the Mission Belt guys have been on every single time we've been here.
Travis Matthew hat. All this came from different PGA shows to put together this ensemble. And I want to be your fashion coordinator for your new clothing line.
Okay.
Caleb. I mean, you know I got style, obviously.
I can see it.
The white belt.
The pants are what did it for me.
You're putting a wedge between my good friend Caleb and me. I'm just saying. And you're allowing this. You're allowing this. Yeah, exactly. It's making things extremely difficult and upsetting for me.
No, but going back to the toy thing, it's actually the reason I'm an entrepreneur today. Is I remember being a kid and I had a remote control, battery powered Bigfoot monster truck toy, and you could actually buy the adaptable sled that hooked up, and as it went down the driveway or the dirt trail, it would actually, the sled would move forward like a tractor pull, and then the truck would slow down and it would go slow. And I didn't have enough money for the trailer. So I went out and shoveled snow till I made enough money to pay for this, you know, the sled. And that was like my first like real chance of hustling, because I would go door to door and I was like, hey, can I shovel your sidewalk? And I was like, I'm trying to make enough money to buy this new toy. And then the old people would feel bad for me, and they'd give me, like, extra money.
How much did you charge?
Oh, I charged $5, but they gave me, like, 10. And this is back in...
Just over the driveway?
Good yeah.
Grief. Like, you know how much I made?
How much?
Because I used to do the same thing. Now, again, I'm only a couple years older than him.
Not a couple. Many.
A quarter. I would...
I'm not shoving nothing for a quarter.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You're 9. You're 10 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? And your parents say, you want that Icy? You want that Slurpee?
Yeah.
And... You know, it's houses in Tampa, St. Pete. You live here now.
Mm-hmm.
How big is the curb?
No, it's not big.
Yeah, it takes 9 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm happy with a quarter.
Okay.
And, you know, if they were, sometimes they'd give me 50 cents. I'm like, you know, gas was 29 cents or something.
Yeah, okay.
You know, when I cut yards. But, no, you're right.
But it's different.
I'm thinking the same thing, and not to be rude about $100, because $100 is a lot of money. And luckily, Matt has it in his pocket to pay for our dinner on the way home. But I'm not going to stand in line at Epcot for 8 hours for $100.
No, I'm not.
But you know what? We could sell Caleb's shoes and we could all eat for a lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, those things are vintage.
We could also all walk out under Caleb's shirt and be covered from the rain.
Yeah. Okay, so there's something I've been...
passes right quick.
Yeah.
It's something I've been mulling over for a little bit, right? So traditionally, football has been run this kind of way. You draft well. You know, you get guys in free agency here and there, but you want to hit on your draft picks, your first-round picks, and you build your team that way, right?
Right.
The Rams are kind of showing there's a different way to go about it, and they've thrown the draft picks to the dirt, to the sky, like we're shooting for the moon. You can have our first and second-round picks for the next 6 years.
Right.
I want Jalen Ramsey. I want Matt Stafford. I want Von Miller. Like, you know, and they're hitting and they're winning these games. Do you see teams taking that approach now? Because it's working.
Let's just go back to, what was it, 2001, 2002, when the Bucs gave up 2 firsts and 2 seconds for John Gruden.
Yeah.
You know, the New York Yankees, that's their style all along.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll pay whatever. They'll overpay where they have to pay the tax. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about winning.
Yeah.
It's easier to do that, but it's also harder to get those guys to all buy into going to L.A., going to Tampa.
Well, you can do it with, like, the Marlins. They built super teams once, and then they split it all up. Yeah, you can do short runs, but you're not going to build any dynasty teams. You're not going to build the Cowboys from, you know, the back in the day, the 49ers, going that way. Because the guys are older, they're veterans, they're being banged up.
Yeah.
You know.
No, for sure. And I agree with that. But it's, for me, it's like the windows of winning are so narrow these days. And, like, I kind of like it's hard to get a Patrick Mahomes. It's hard to get a Josh Allen. Because we see it every year. Guys get drafted high. And 2-3 years later, it's like, that's not the guy. And you got to find a new one. Right. And you got to find a new one. And you got to find a new one. When you have these veteran quarterbacks coming up, like Aaron Rodgers is going to be up now. We can see what he does. And Tom Brady, like, why not shoot for the moon?
Absolutely. You know what Wilson. You have.
Yeah, why not? Like, give up those draft picks.
How would you like to be the GM that passed on Mahomes? Or,
oh, man.
Or the guy in Portland who passed on some guy by the name of Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
You know, to take Sam Bowie. You know, it's all...
Deshaun Watson, with all the issues he's had, but like we said, separate art from artist, right? They passed on him too. And he went out there and he arguably was the second best quarterback in the NFL up until all that stuff happened.
Right.
Because the numbers speak for themselves. 40 touchdowns, 4,000 yards. He was right there with Mahomes. And so, like, yeah, it's wild. It's wild to see. And I always resented, like, GMs and, like, the thinking for this is when you see somebody's film and you see how good they are, why not just trust what you see? Because they go into this combine process, and I understand it helps guys draft stock and everything. It helped me out because I did well at the combine. But, like, you see a guy, and they're like, oh, he's 6'4", 250, runs a 4'4". I can make an amazing player. Well, what does this film say?
Right.
Because you see this quarterback,
right,
and you see that he can play, but then you're like, oh, well, this guy's big and tall and strong. It's like, no, what does this film say?
Well, what does it prove when you went to that combine, you know, at whatever you weigh, at whatever your height is, that you can jump and hit a red line above whatever? What does that do?
I understand, like, they're trying to gauge upside, but I'll give this guy, Orlando Brown, Zeus, big Zeus, right? He went to the combine, had a horrible combine, right? He was the best tackle in college football, by far. Did not give up a sack in his entire career at Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken. Has quick feet, can play. But he goes to the combine, runs like a 5'6", 40, doesn't do well on the bench press, and then he drops to, like, the bottom of the second round. And they're like, oh, this guy can't play. 2 All-Pros later, his first 2 years,
right.
It's like he gets traded for 2 first-round picks. It's like made another Pro Bowl, I think, this year. It's like, watch the tape.
Right.
Like, and believe what you see on tape, you know?
I know we only have, like, 2 minutes, but real quick, and then we'll talk about it in the second hour. Major League Baseball did their pick where media decides who goes into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
David Ortiz in. The other steroid guys are out.
Oh.
Does the steroid – where are you on baseball going to the Hall of Fame? Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds,
they were still
Sammy
great.
Sosa.
I mean, I understand the steroids maybe helped him hit a couple more home runs, but it didn't help him see the ball any better. You know what I mean? Like, and at the time, in that time in baseball, everyone was doing it, right? Like, those guys are great players still. Like, steroids didn't take him from being trash to being a Hall of Famer.
Don't kid yourself. Steroids saved Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, after the strike, people didn't care.
Oh, yeah. People don't care now.
Yeah, they don't.
Sammy Sosa, the Bat Brothers.
But, yeah.
Like, that was the golden era of baseball. Like, that was the best period.
I couldn't even tell you who won the last World Series. And that used to be, like, a thing where it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the World Series is, like, a big deal. Now it's like they're fizzling.
Only because I thought about it. It was the Braves. But I don't – who won it the year before?
Dodgers. I have no idea.
The Dodgers?
Dodgers beat the Rays.
I know Houston won it one time. And it's always funny because it'll come up and they'll be like, oh, the Astros won the World Series. I'm like, they were playing the World Series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, they need a...
Well, that's when they banged on trash cans and all that kind of stuff.
Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Hey, you know...
Look at Bill Belichick. Great coach.
Why is that different, banging on a trash can to send a signal, or you're standing at second base stealing the signal from the catcher? So, you know, it really is the same thing.
The question is, who wears better nails, the media guy at the expo today, or the catchers that are flashing the signals to the pitcher? Who has better nails?
This guy's stuff is stunning.
I didn't see that.
His stuff is stunning.
That's the guy who sent us to the podcast room.
Yeah,
we're gonna work on a commercial, and I want to run a commercial about podcasts. And you're thinking about doing one, right?
Yeah, I am. I am thinking about it. It's kind of similar to this, talking sports, kind of talking life. You know, me and my buddies, we always sit down and have these deep conversations, and we just kind of, the conversations we're having now, we have these every single day. And I was like, you know, like, I feel like people would want to see this and hear this. And so it's something I've definitely mulled over, and, you know, we'll see what happens this year.
When we come back after the top of the hour, we'll talk about the turkey leg that Steve and I are going to have in Houston in 2 weeks. Coming to you live from the haunted podcast room here at the PGA Golf Show at the Orlando Convention Center. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Cabbage from the UFC, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.